This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I am excited about this show, and I want to get right into it because it's all about promoting meaningful healthcare reform, and it's a big topic these days, and I want you to listen to all of this because I have a repeat guest, and it's repeat because he's so good. He's a doctor. This is Dr. John Newport. He's an author, a speaker, a commentator, an outspoken advocate for healthcare reform. He holds doctorates in health services and psychology with a background spanning 50 years in healthcare policy analysis, health services administration, and wellness advocacy. This guy knows what's going on with all of the talk on the Hill and everything that is affecting us these days when it comes to our healthcare. Dr. John Newport, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Holly, and I just hope I can live up to that wonderful introduction.
Well, I already know that you can, and then some. This is such important conversations, and you, I think, are the right person to be talking to because you are. This is your wheelhouse, if I may. Correct?
That's for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about this. So there's a lot going on. You're on top of it all with the administration, the current administration, you know, sort of rushing through Congress a bill to replace and repeal the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And you know, the funny thing is, I have to say this. I saw, you know, those, it's called Man on the Street, those little snippets of videos where somebody goes out and just puts a mic in somebody's face and asks a question.
Sure,
David Letterman
sure.
used to do it all the time, right? So there, I saw this one, it was about a month ago, and the question was, what do you like better, the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare? And everybody had an opinion about it. Everybody was like,
and of course, they're both one of the same.
Yeah, yes. Everybody's like, oh, I hate Obamacare, but the Affordable Care Act is so much better. So that was just kind of a funny little thing that I saw. But so what are your thoughts regarding this current proposal, all of the stuff that's going on currently right now?
Okay, well, you know, that's a heck of a good question.
And it's a big question. I do understand that.
And I have, as you know, pretty strong thoughts on the topic. In my opinion, the GOP alternative to the Affordable Care Act, which is dubbed the American Health Care Act, that was a very, very hastily crafted bill that was doomed to failure from the start.
Hmm.
What was going on is that, quite frankly, rather than devoting the time and effort that would have been needed to achieve consensus on a sound proposal that would benefit all Americans, I hate to say this, but instead, our president was driven by an overriding obsession to replace Obamacare within his first 100 days of office, come hell or high water.
Right.
Regarding this poorly crafted bill, the Congressional Budget Office, and this is an office that is highly respected by both sides of the aisle, okay, they came out with estimates that 24 million Americans would lose health coverage by 2026 under that proposal if it passes. Furthermore, the proposal would decimate Medicaid as we now know it. I'm sure you're familiar with the Medicaid expansion provision of the Affordable Care Act.
Sure.
Where the states can partner with the federal government to expand the Medicaid rolls. And here in my home state of Arizona, that brought on an additional 400,000 needy Arizonans onto the Medicaid rolls. Well, they want to scrap that, and then they want to turn around and say to the states, we're going to let you guys control Medicaid. We're going to give you block grants. But what they don't say is that the total money that the feds would give the states under this proposal would only be 70% of what they're getting now. So you can see I have strong feelings. I just think it's a terrible, terrible piece of legislation.
Well, I hear you. And, you know, unfortunately, we are in such a high-spirited, maybe I could say, political climate, where, as you said, instead of doing the work and taking the time to reach consensus from all of the brilliant people, you know, that are involved in our legislative processes. There was this kind of like, I want to do this in my first 100 days because I feel like, you know, my show, Mindful Medicine, like, can't we just use our minds a little bit more? I think that's, it's really going to be important because this is big stuff. You know, we can't just be, you know, pushing our agendas through, you know, and pulling all the politics around, because I do think that, you know, even President Obama, everybody has said, you know what, it was a good start. It needs to be reformed.
It was a heck of a good start, sure.
Yeah. So let's just take it and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you may, and be smart about it and make adjustments. Go ahead and do that work. That's what we pay you for. You know, instead of getting in this, you know, pardon my language, you know, kind of blanking match about repealing and replacing because it was a campaign promise. But I totally agree with you. Now, listen, you mentioned... You've written, you know, you're very prolific in your articles and your opinions, focusing on healthcare issues. And you mentioned, your paper mentions that now that the healthcare bill has been forwarded to the Senate, you believe there is cause for hope that the Senate will produce a bill that differs substantially from the House version that has been voted on. Can you talk more about that?
I sure can. And yeah, I am very, very optimistic now that the bill has been forwarded to the Senate when you look at both houses of Congress, the Senate is a much smaller, closely knit group. You have 100 senators all together as opposed to, I don't know, 500-something in the Congress. And it's a more collegial group. They have a tradition of really, really getting to know each other and work together much, much more than is the case in the House. Now, significantly, the guy who chairs the Senate Health Committee, Senator Alexander, and several other key Senate Republicans have already stated that they will scrap the House bill and write their own. And I applaud that that idea. And the other thing is, and this to me is a real eye-opener, Dr. Howley, back when the powers-to-be were forcing, literally strong-arming, the Republicans in the House to get behind this bill, we just got to keep our promise to the voters, you know, don't worry about the content. A number of House Republicans who voted for the measure report that they were under intense pressure to support the bill, and therefore, before casting a yes vote, which many of these did with extreme reluctance, several of these representatives first consulted their colleagues in the Senate to gain assurance that their colleagues in the Senate would support changes from the House version that would protect their constituency. Key concerns included keeping Medicaid expansion intact, and ensuring that coverage would be affordable for patients with pre-existing conditions, which would not be the case if this other bill passes.
Oh, my dear. And we hear about this in the pre-existing conditions because it's like,
Can you talk a little louder, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So I sort of scratch my head a little bit when I hear about this whole pre-existing conditions and that's being up for being eliminated because to not include somebody because of a diagnosis that they have stumbled upon, unfortunately, in their lives from a healthcare perspective. It's like usually those are the people that need the care and the support from a healthcare perspective the most. And so,
of course,
what if you were in that Senate and you had your hands on this bill, what are the changes you would propose to the existing law?
Really, really glad you asked that question. The basic change that I would propose, well, actually, there's a couple. First of all, as we talked about earlier, let's not try to replace Obamacare. I mean, as you said, it's a good start. So let's sit down and take the time to work across the aisles to come up with consensus with something that's going to make it better, that will better serve the American people. Let's bring the caring dimension back to healthcare. Now, the other thing that I feel very strongly about is I believe that whatever bill comes out of the Senate should contain a very strong preamble, which sets forth, I'll just quote what I think it should say, something to the effect of, I strongly urge that whatever health care bill emerges from the Senate must contain a strong preamble that unequivocally states that, quote, an underlying intent of this legislation is to ultimately transform our current health care system into a wellness-oriented system that both empowers and incentivizes everyone to take charge of their health. Now, of course, this isn't going to come about overnight, but I think that having a preamble to that effect would help everybody keep that ultimate goal in sight.
Wow, that is pretty profound. That preamble, that makes sense to me. That is definitely mindful medicine when it comes to healthcare, don't you think?
There you go. Yeah.
That's a powerful statement, and I think that's really important. As a naturopathic doctor and being involved in the Institute for Natural Medicine, which is a 501c3 that I work with, and our basic goal is just to help transform our current system into more of a wellness, oriented system.
I'd sure like to learn more about the organization.
Yeah, it's an amazing organization. We're kind of just getting off the ground here, but it is about PR and public education to help people understand, and I always sort of get a little bit twisted up talking about natural medicine because there's so many connotations, but for me, if you ask, what is natural medicine? What is naturopathic medicine? It's like, for me, my mind, it's just a more natural way of thinking about things. Even though I believe that there's value in all systems of medicine, including conventional Western reductionistic medicine, I certainly have had value from that system. I got in a horrible motorcycle accident. I've, shattered my shoulder, and there are times for it. But from my perspective, when you look at a presenting case and you identify and treat the cause and you look at all the contributing factors and you really strive to understand the modalities and the therapies that are out there where you can use the least invasive methods to diagnose and treat first, and that includes what's going on in our diet and our lifestyle for sure, without a doubt. And it's not just here, take this. And so do you really believe it's possible to transform our current system into a wellness-oriented system and that both empowers and incentivizes everybody to take charge of their own health? I mean, how do you see that playing out?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Holly. That's an excellent question. And before I get into that, once again, I would really love to learn more about this Institute for Institute for National Medicine?
Yeah, Institute for Natural Medicine,
INM. And golly, if I can be of any help to that organization, please feel free to give me a call. And getting back to your question, as a best case scenario, I would envision that we would somehow evolve our current sickness care system into a true healthcare system that fully encourages doctors, nurses, holistic practitioners such as yourself, and other healthcare providers to listen to their patients and to proactively partner with them in charting their pathway to wellness. There's an old saying attributed to traditional Chinese medicine that says, you pay the doctor to keep you well. Now, I love that saying, and I envision a truly compassionate system, ultimately, that restores the caring dimension to healthcare while placing a major emphasis on prevention and health enhancement. And Dr. Holly, like I said before, we both know this certainly is not going to come about overnight. because there are many, many parties with strong proprietary vested interest that are really, really determined they want to keep things just the way they are, because there's a lot of money made out of this, in my opinion, wired backwards sickness care system. So you got all these vested interests there. So it's not going to come about any overnight. And again, that's why I strongly that the health care reform bill contained that preamble I talked about earlier.
Now,
did that respond to your question?
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, once again, if we can take the politics out of it, and listen, I'm the daughter of two pharmacists. And so I grew up with my father climbing the corporate ladder at the time of one of the most, you know, prolific and the largest pharmaceutical company back, my entire life. He climbed that corporate ladder, and it was the Upjohn Company. We ended up landing in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is where their headquarters were. And we've had this struggle before, because it's, you know, for-profit medicine and profit over people. And one of our things that we've been, one of the things that have been told to us and that we've come to understand as advocates of natural medicine is that, there's no money in wellness. But it's so interesting, because what else is there? Because, you know, I have this happen to me several times where somebody will look at me and like, you know, why do you exercise? You seem to be, you know, very fit. And I was like, well, it's because I exercise, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Or why do you eat so well? You know, you seem to be at an ideal weight. And I was like, well, it's because I eat so well, right? So, you know, as that says, you know, pay a doctor to help you stay well. That would be my goal. I mean, okay. I've been under, you know, behind the eight ball before when it comes to my health in several different areas, and it is no fun, and it is scary, and it's probably one of the most devastating things for individuals and for families. And so if we could really turn this around and shift a little bit, because I want to ask you this final question, because it's going to be interesting to me to understand your answer, because what I want to ask you is, what steps can my listeners take to advocate and truly, you know, sort of understand a wellness-oriented healthcare system? Because I've lectured throughout the last 15 years, you know, in venues all across the United States, and one of the things that I ended up doing is like, okay, how many people, just raise of hands, has a primary care provider? And, you know, 75%
of the hands go up.
Yeah, look at all those. And I said, well, I feel like, just for the record, you know, about 75% of the room has a primary care provider. And I said, but I think every single person in this room should have put up their hand, because I truly believe that we should all, at the end of the day, be primarily in charge of providing care for ourselves. That's what I wanted to get into. Like, we could all be our own, you know, sort of PCPs. And
exactly.
And when HMOs came out, I thought, well, home maintenance organizations, like, do you have an HMO? Absolutely. It's what you do in your home. It's your behavior. It's what you put in your mouth. It's all of those things. And so tell me what steps you, with all of your background and with all of your advocacy regarding wellness, what steps can our listeners take?
Sure. I'll be glad to respond to that, Dr. Holly. Before we do that, though, I would like to take a minute or two to challenge the misconception that so many people have that there are that there's no money in wellness. I totally disagree with that. Well, under the current system, there isn't, but that is entirely the problem. Under the current system, a doctor doesn't get reimbursed by insurance to sit down with a patient, to listen to them, to really, really try to get at the root causes of what's going on, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and to take the time to respond and kind of like be a health and wellness guide. Doctors get paid zero for that.
Yeah.
But
no,
boy,
I understand.
If someone is sick, they can make a rake in the dough then.
Yeah. You know, and I got to tell you something. Because it is what I do, and I can't tell you the number of folks that walk out of my office, and truly, if they take a moment, they'll say. And it's happened, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times over my last 16, 17 years of practice. You know, thank you for listening. Or sometimes I even get the, hey, thanks for calling back. But can you imagine what our health, first of all, very cost effective. Listening is a very cost effective modality. It really is. Doesn't cost much at all. Attentive listening, effective listening, active listening. When people feel heard, I honestly believe that their ability to heal increases exponentially because they just feel that somebody cares. And it makes a world of difference when it comes to somebody's health and wellness.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And Dr. Holly, I think you have an ideal background for that role. And I've noticed you were originally an RN before you went on to get the additional education, become a naturopath. So I think those two, you know, professions combined are great. Now, let me get back to the question you asked. What can your listeners do to advocate a truly wellness-oriented healthcare system? Well, first of all, I would urge them to keep on doing what they're doing, what they are doing right. Now, I'm assuming that the vast majority of people listening to your program are already in the healthy lifestyles, and that when they do become sick, they seek out the least invasive and most natural healing options available, what you were just talking about. I would also hope that they are spreading the word to their friends to jump on the wellness bandwagon. So, you know, again, you know, I would encourage them to keep on doing what they're already doing right. Now, in addition, you know, in these very, very challenging times we're dealing with in terms of healthcare politics, I would really, really urge your listeners, in fact, all of us, to become actively involved in the political arena as activists for what we want to see changed and accomplished. Now, especially that the healthcare bill, that the, I should say, that the alternative healthcare bill is now in the Senate. I would encourage your listeners to contact their senators with a message to the effect of fix Obamacare and empower everyone to take charge of their health. I'll repeat that. You know, kind of like an elevator pitch. Fix Obamacare and empower everyone to take charge of their health. And I would especially urge your listeners, Dr. Holly, to contact Republican senators, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. I'm not sure what state he's from, but might be Kentucky, I'm not sure. And drive this message home to them. I think, you know, at the heart level, this is what most of these people really, really would like to see accomplished. But unfortunately, in our totally dysfunctional political system that we're trying to cope with, the heart level just gets bypassed so darn easily.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, those are great. That's great. That's great advice for the listeners. Anything that we can do, and I know if people, you know, if anything, I feel with this sort of toxic political environment that we've been trying to cope with, people have been a little bit more active and incentivized to take action and to make calls and to do what they can on their part. And there's a reason for everything, I think. And so if that's what we're going to get, we're going to be more mindful people, you know, waking up and just like, hey, I can be involved. This is my country. I think that's going to be really important. So Dr. Newport, this is not going to be the last time we talk because this is important information. I love, you know, my show is called Mindful Medicine, but you bring the heart into it. And if we could slow down and, like you said, just really take the time, get the consensus, take some work that was already done that was a great start, and look at all of the people that we have to serve and really come up with a healthcare plan that can fit everybody and that isn't going to harm anybody. I think that's really important.
And you know, that goes back to the Hippocratic oath, first do no harm.
Oh, sure. Yeah, first do no harm. Exactly. I take that very, I mean, every single day, it's like, how can I truly, I mean, I think about that every time I'm with somebody. What's the best way for people to learn more about you and contact you if they need to?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me give you my email address. My email address is healingtucson@hotmail.com. Now, Tucson is spelled T-U-C-S-O-N. Again, that's healingtucson@hotmail.com, and I would love to hear from your listeners.
Excellent. And then you also have a website, wellnessandrecovery.com, too.
I got a bunch of websites geared to my different books, but yes, I do have the wellnessandrecovery.com website. Now, that one, that kind of sprang out of my first book, which is The Wellness Recovery Connection, which is actually drawing on my background in addictions. And it's kind of like a self-help book for people who are in recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction on how they can strengthen their recovery and add years, if not decades, to their life expectancies by taking charge of their health. So, yeah, I think that would be a really, really interesting website for your listeners to take a look at.
And we'll have you back on and we'll talk exactly about that, because when you have a contributing factor of addiction, your health is at risk, and it'd be a great conversation to have with you. And, of course, I'm going to be staying in touch with you. So, Dr. Newport, thank you so very much for your insights on how we can perhaps influence and help everybody truly advocate for a wellness-oriented healthcare system. All right, folks, Mindful Medicine, thank you so much for joining us. If you like the show, go over to iTunes and rate it, and we can join our community and just continue to use our minds. And like Dr. Newport says, open up our hearts when we're making these decisions. All right, until next time, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.